Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. Have you use your Bible some. I'll read several verses to you. May have you move around some in your Bible. Keep it handy. Leviticus 19. Well, I'll just read one verse. And of course, this is in a portion of verses that have to do with our relationship to God's earthly people. Much of the Old Testament law deals with our relationship with God. Some of the Old Testament law was given to know how to treat each other. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, if you'll find that verse, and then please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we, Lord, use the Word of God to teach a very important subject tonight, Lord, that we'll be able to help our church, dear God, help our young people, help all of us. And Lord, as we see the deterioration of our culture, Lord, it's very important as we as Bible-believing Christians shore up these areas of our life, dear God, and make sure that we're not following in the ways of the world. And Lord, I pray that this would be a help and a blessing, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I was looking at the 40 different subjects that I wanted to cover this year and sent that list out and got some input, several of the men mentioned that I was gaining some insight with and getting some suggestions from this subject, and I had not initially put it on the list, but was sure glad that they pointed it out to me, this matter of respecting your elders. We're seeing a deterioration in that in this country. Old folks are not cherished for the most part. They're not honored for the most part. And I want to teach this, not because I think that that's a widespread problem in our church, but it sure helps to be reminded of these things. And I think one of the great gifts that we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is that we have a multi-generational church. And we have senior saints, and we have middle-aged folks, and then we have, young adults and teenagers and children. And it's just wonderful to be able to look at all of these that God's brought together in this place. But I sure value our senior saints. They're a blessing to me. I think I might just do this senior saints meal maybe monthly. I've just enjoyed getting together with this group of folks. Plus, we get to eat. So that's another... maybe another reason I'm being inspired to do this, but it's just a joy. You folks that are, as the Bible calls it, the hoary head, you gray-headed folks, white-haired saints, let me tell you this, you're important to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're important to our church. And young people, I'm going to try to help you in this, and not that, again, that I think our young people are bad at this or horrible about this, but it'll sure be a good reminder to you. If we're not careful in our youth, we devalue older people. And they're just somebody that walks slow and gets in our way if we're not careful. That's the attitude we start having. And yet, every culture that's survived long term and every culture that's prospered has had a respect for their elders. If you want to pinpoint a time period, and you hear me refer back to the 60s a lot, but there was something very dangerous that happened in the 60s. Before that, prior to that, and I'm not saying we were perfect before that, trust me, we weren't as a nation. We had problems. You can go to every decade of the 1900s and see some deterioration, see where we were heading. But in the 1960s, we had a group of young people rise up that basically said, and I mean, they would say it, you can't trust anybody over 30 years of age. And they quit looking to the generations before them and decided that they knew more than mom and they knew more than dad and they knew more than grandma and grandpa. And that was a decade of rebellion where rebellion was glorified. And it was almost, we'll do anything and everything we can to not only lay aside what our parents are trying to teach us, but to shock them by some of the things that we're willing to do. And And since then, it seems like, I mean, if you'll look at what's happened since the 1960s to now, the deterioration of the country has just been accelerated at an alarming rate. And so we're going to talk about this. Here God gave the Old Testament law. And there's a lot of things in the Old Testament law. I will say this again. The Bible says Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The whole mentality that I sense sometimes from people as if the Old Testament law has no value is absolutely wrong. It was written by the finger of God. I mean, these verses that teach us how to treat each other, God hasn't checked out on any of that. I understand we don't have to offer blood sacrifices. I don't understand the ceremonial part of the law. No longer applies to us. I understand that some of that was nailed to the cross. But the way that God gives them, you read this entire chapter, and I won't jump in here, but verse 29, okay, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore. Okay, so I guess that Old Testament law is gone, right? So now we can do that and it's okay? I mean, what I'm saying here is read down through here, all right? I mean, you know, verse 31, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I guess that no longer applies. We don't have to live by the Old Testament law. What I'm saying is, folks, be very careful what you're doing, because the usually the people that spend all the time bashing the Old Testament law are people that don't want any absolutes in their life. They don't want any thou shalts and thou shalt nots. But isn't it interesting in all of the things that God put here, isn't it interesting that God included a law? This is a law. This is something he expected God's people to obey. Notice what it says here, young people, in verse 32. Thou shalt what? Help me out here. You're looking at your Bible. All right. Thou shalt what?
Rise
up before the hoary head. You know what that literally meant? That meant if an older person were to walk into your presence, into a room, you were to stand up. And that's what grandpa and grandpa taught us. And that's what mom and dad taught us. And now we've got a generation that doesn't do it. Now, I think it goes beyond just physically standing. It was a reminder that somebody has entered the room that deserves honor. That dirt deserves our respect. I mean, I've been in a crowded office, doctor's office, or I've been on buses, I've been on airport transports, and watched elderly people walk in and young people sitting there texting and doesn't even look up. And older women standing while young men sit. And that's a shame. That's a wickedness. If that happens and I'm occupying a seat, I immediately get up and I immediately, ma'am, please, no, I'm fine. No, ma'am, please sit in this seat. And by the way, even if she refuses to sit there, I will not sit back down. I absolutely will not take that seat. And there's something that the Bible's trying to convey to us here. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. Now notice this, and fear thy God. And it's like the more that we've lost respect for our elders, the more we've lost the fear of the Lord. I think that they go together. I think one teaches us to do the other. And so notice what it says here. It says, honor the face of the old man. And that's talking about it's not being disrespectful in the way we've kind of taken that phrase and made it a disrespectful phrase, but it isn't in the Bible here. Again, if an elderly person walks in, you stand up. If an older man enters the room, you honor him. You know, watch this. Let me help some of you, and I'm going to say a lot of things, but I'm going to try to do this in a timely fashion. But, you know, folks, listen to me. If you're a younger man and you're in a room with older men and there's somebody ask a question and somebody there's an opportunity to give advice. Let me just teach you something. Be quiet. Well, they're not answering, so I think I'll jump in real quick. Well, why don't you just be quiet and give them time? See, they're probably actually thinking about their answer where you're not. They're worth waiting for. It's worth waiting for them to speak. You could talk to the deacons, and I think that they would confirm this. You could talk to the deacons, but I mean, I wasn't a kid when I got hired on here. I was 34 years of age when I got hired here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. But Dad wanted me from day one. He wanted me to come to the agenda meetings. And so when they had an agenda meeting, the deacons would come. All the deacons were older than me at that time. And the deacons would come in, and Dad was there. And I mean, I sat in 3 years worth of deacon agenda meetings and never said anything unless they asked me a direct question. I'm trying to teach you something here, okay? I didn't think I knew more than Bob Townsley knew. I didn't think I knew more than Charles English knew. I didn't think I knew more than Don Mowry knew. I think that if something is asked, those men ought to have the opportunity to speak. And then if somebody asks my opinion, that's fine. Now again, I wasn't a kid. I wasn't 20-something. But at the same time, I was raised that way. To me, that just made sense. And so what I wanted to share with you here is we have to hit some reset buttons. And I'm going to get right into this because there's so many good things I want to hit. And I hope it'll just remind you of some things. Respecting your elders. Number one, respect of elders is a foundational Old Testament law. We just read that. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Number two, respect for elders begins with respecting your parents. This is the training ground. If a young person grows up and they don't and are not taught and required to respect their parents, they usually don't respect anybody that's older. Learning proper respect towards elders begins with showing proper respect towards your mom and towards your dad. How many times is this repeated in the Bible? Well, again, the Old Testament law, one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Deuteronomy 5, 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Matthew 15, 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. Matthew 19, 19, honor thy father and thy mother. Mark 7:10, and Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Mark 10:19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Luke 18:20, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Romans 1, 28 through 30, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Isn't that interesting that it's one of the sins listed in connection to a reprobate mind? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Now, young people, I'm going to see if I can remind you of something. And again, I think most of our young people are good on this. I hope they are squared away on it if you're struggling in this area. And I can tell you how you know if you're struggling in this area right now. When I was reading all those verses, were you sitting in your heart going, amen, that's good, amen, that's good, amen, that's good? Or was there something inside of you that just grinded? Are you resisting against the commands that encourage you to both honor and obey your parents, or do you embrace them? And if you're grinding against them, you know what? Let me ask you a question. Where did you get that? Is that the Holy Spirit of God working in you, or is that a spirit of rebellion that's working inside of you? By the way, which is a demonic spirit, the spirit of rebellion. How did rebellion work for Satan? How'd that work out for him? I wrote in our book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, one of the attributes of Christ is that the teenage Christ remained subject to his parents. And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now, let me just read this. It'd be good for you to hear it. Except for your relationship with God, your relationship to your parents is the most important relationship of your teenage years. Satan works feverishly to destroy this relationship. He is the original rebel. As one of God's exalted angels, he refused to submit to the authority of God. Ever since, he has carried his work of rebellion into the homes of this world. Jesus, who deserves to be exalted, humbled himself to the will of his heavenly Father and his earthly parents. Imagine the God-man subject unto men, the Creator subject to his creation. Sinlessness submitting to imperfect leadership. Imperfect leadership. He was perfect and submitted to imperfect leadership. He expects no less from us. Every teenager will choose to follow one of these two examples. The difference between Christ and Satan in the area of submission is simple. Satan made the foolish conclusion that rebellion would lead to superiority. Christ, who is the wisdom of God, understood that superiority is the result of submission. I'm going to tell you something. That right there, if you got it, you got a lot. I go then to develop the idea of the superiority of submission. Your relationship towards your parents will affect every other relationship of your life. Submissive teenagers make superior adults. Submissive teenagers make superior adults. If the devil's telling you that the way to show that you're mature is to rebel, then he's trying to get you to follow his pattern. We have the pattern of Christ, who showed that superiority comes through submission, not rebellion. A submissive teenager becomes a superior citizen. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. A submissive teenager becomes a superior employee. Servants, be subject to your own masters. You see, if you're not submissive to your parents and you struggle in that area of your life, you're going to be a less than desirable citizen, a less than desirable employee, because your problem isn't mom and dad. Your problem is authority. That's your problem. And that's not going to go away when you become a citizen. That's not going to go away when you become an employee. A submissive teenager becomes a superior church member. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit to yourselves. A teenager who gives his parents grief will someday give a pastor grief. There's no such thing as selective rebellion. If you will not submit to your parents, you'll grow up to be a selfish, strong-willed church member who will cause problems in the church you attend. See, rebellion doesn't lead to superiority. Submission leads to superiority. So the young person that says, I'm going to obey the Bible and be submissive to mom and dad, you'll become a superior citizen, a superior employee, a superior church member. Watch this. A submissive teenage girl becomes a superior wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you think when 18 you're done submitting and you don't have to submit to anybody the rest of your life, and now I'm an adult and I can do whatever I want to, you're going to get a wake-up call. Okay, not if you're going to obey the Bible. Young man, let me give you a good piece of advice. If you're kind of stuck on, kind of sweet on a girl, and she's not submissive to her mom and dad, and she doesn't have a good submissive spirit to her mom and dad, let me tell you something. You may think that's cute, but one of these days, if you marry her, guess who's going to be the authority in her life then? See, her problem's not mom and dad. Listen to me again. Her problem's not her mom and dad. Her problem's authority. And she's not going to have any more respect for your authority than she had for their authority. And so somebody's going to have to submit in that relationship now. And she's not used to submitting. Okay, and she'll lead you around by the nose and make the decisions of your family and pull you in and out of churches, just like some of the ladies around here have done recently. Okay. A submissive teenage girl becomes a superior wife. Listen, you find a young lady that's submissive to mom and dad, and you're going to find somebody that's going to make you a great wife. A submissive teenage boy becomes a superior leader. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Listen, I've never met a great leader who was not first a great follower. Young man, if you can't follow leadership now, in the leadership that God's given you, authority's given you, you will never know how to lead. God will not bless you as a leader if you were not also a good follower. The best leaders are the best were once the best followers. A submissive teenager becomes a superior Christian. Folks, listen to me. We're all supposed to submit to Christ and to God. And so if you struggle in this area of submission, boy, this is a good book. Somebody ought to buy this and read it. And, you know, just not have a hard heart about it just because your pastor is the one that wrote it. Maybe that's an authority problem. Maybe that's an extension of something we're talking about here. Wouldn't it be neat if the teenagers of the pastor of the church that wrote that actually got that book and read it and believed it, instead of just all the teenagers that go to other churches? That'd just be amazing. I look forward to that day. Amen. Respect of elders begins with respecting your parent. Now, I'm helping you here. If you do, listen, that's the training ground. Listen, have you noticed that you were born into a family where mom and dad is older than you? Did that get lost on you? I think that God did that for a reason. Right away, he's put you in the direct authority of people who are your elders. And what you need to do is develop a respect for your mom and dad. Listen, obey and honor your parents. Obey and honor your parents. And as you do that, you're setting yourself up to be wise in your treatment of all people that are elderly later on and all of your elders later on. Number three, number one, respect of elders is a foundational Old Testament law. Number two, respect of elders begins with respecting your parents. Number three, respect of elders is shown in the way you interact with them. Now I'm going to give you some real practical things, so stay with me here. Go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 31. Proverbs 16, verse number 31. Respect of elders is shown in the way you interact with them. Now I'm going to teach you a lot. And this isn't just for teens, this is for young adults, this is for all of us. I guess as long as you're alive and there's somebody older than you, that this could help you, okay? Respect of elders is shown in the way you interact with them. Now, I want you to learn to cherish older people. I want you to learn to cherish them. They're a gift to you. Okay? How do I honor them, preacher? How do I honor my elders? Honor them by viewing them properly. Look at Proverbs 16:31. You ought to underline this. Draw a little star arrow to it. I mean, I don't know. Hook it up to neon. Plug it in. I don't know. Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head is a crown. The word hoary just simply means gray or white-headed. The hoary head is a crown of what?
Glory.
A crown of glory. Now listen, notice this. I want to say this for the rest of us. If it be found in the what?
Way
of righteousness. You ever heard the old phrase, there's no fool like an old fool? Okay, and let me just say this. Just because we're older doesn't mean we ought to be able to demand everybody's respect if we're going to live like a heathen. And young people, I would say this to warn you. If there is an older person that's trying to gain influence in your life and they are an unrighteous, wicked person, just because they're older, you should not listen to their advice. Okay, I didn't say that gives you a reason that anybody that's not perfect, don't listen to them. But I'm saying if they're living and are found in the ways of righteousness, then that white head is a crown of glory. Now, I want you to think about that. I'd like to get everybody to kind of think about this. It'd be very, very beneficial to you if any time you saw an older person walk in, a gray-haired, white-haired person, you would look specifically at their hair and you would picture that as a crown. Royalty just walked in the room. Royalty just walked in the room. That's a crown of glory. Okay? Royalty just walked in the room. Now, if you begin to view people like that, view older people like that, our society looks right past older people. Our society despises them in the biblical sense of undervaluing them. Okay? So honor them by viewing them properly. I'm glad that so many of our young people, by the way, I'm going to say this, I think one of the reasons that God's blessed this church over the last 40 years is our willingness to minister in our nursing homes in this area. And I say this from time to time, but not nearly enough. Thank you for every family that takes on a nursing home and goes and ministers. This is pure religion. That is pure religion and undefiled. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm thrilled that we're in 7 different nursing homes right now. I'm thrilled that our teenagers, under the leadership of Brother Reiser, is responsible for one of those nursing homes. Now, young people, listen to me. Let me help you. If you're not careful, you're going to go in there every month. And you may already be doing this, and you didn't mean to, but now I'm helping you. If you walk in there and look around and just look at people that you think are to be laughed at, made fun of, and, you know, I can't wait to get out of here, you've got a really bad view of what you... Listen, you just walked into a royalty home. Everybody in there has got a crown of glory.
Yep.
All right? They deserve your attention. They deserve your respect. They deserve you to stop and shake their hand and introduce yourself to them. They deserve to be treated with dignity. They deserve that. Say, preacher, some of them are, okay, fine, I know. Physically, some of them are hurting and some of them can't do. And I know sometimes that, mentally even sometimes, but they still are deserving of your respect and your honor and your kind treatment. They're respectful of, or they're deserving of that. And so you honor them in the way that you view them. Treat them, honor them by viewing them properly. Honor them by treating them properly. We read in Leviticus 19, I won't have you go back there, that thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. I think older folks deserve our respect, deserve our treatment. We ought to make sure that they're well taken care of, watched over. Honor them by speaking to them properly. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me teach you a little something here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And let me read the first several verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I can tell a lot about a young person and your character by how you interact with older people. I can tell a lot about you and your character by how you interact with older people. And wise people will judge you on that basis. That's why you ought to be very, very careful in how you interact with older people. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. And it's teaching us in this portion of Scripture on how to interact with different people, some that are our peers and some that are older than us. If there's an older man, then you ought to not ever rebuke him, but you ought to learn to entreat him as you would your father. I think this is a portion of Scripture that tells you this, and this is a good way to view older people. Every older man is my father, and every older woman is my mother. I think of it that way because it then causes me to want to respect them more, to treat them carefully, to treat them decently. And he says, don't rebuke them. There's nothing I think that grates or irritates me more than to hear a younger person berating or rebuking an older person. You say, well, they're wrong. They may be wrong, but you are wrong in your attitude and how you're handling it. I mean, when I watch a young person rebuke and are caustic in their attitude and mean in spirit in their attitude towards their parents, I'm going to tell you, it starts down in my toes and goes all the way up. It's just all I can do to stay out of that. Because to me, that's just wicked. It's just wrong. And so listen, never rebuke somebody. What's the word entreat mean? Well, the word entreat is talking about coming from a position of humility. You know, you may have to appeal to someone who is your elder, but how you go to them is everything. You may need to go to them and talk to them about something that you feel like wasn't done properly or wasn't fair, but if you walk in with an attitude, start sticking your finger and berating them, I don't care what they did or the mistake they made, you are equally wrong at that point. Okay? But not because maybe your position, but your disposition. And so I think what you need to do is learn to entreat older people. That word entreat simply means to come from a position of humility, not to boss them or rebuke them, but to entreat them and to come to them and appeal to them. In 1 Peter 5:5, we read that this morning, and I know it's a portion of Scripture just talking about people that are in the ministry, but notice what it says in verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so I think you need to be very careful in the way that you speak to older people. And the book on biblical masculinity, I've got a chapter in here on chivalry. And young men, I want to help you with this. It's based a lot on this portion of Scripture right here. Psalm 18, I love Psalm 18, verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And there's something I think that young men go through, and I'm not, again, upset at you, but you need to learn here. Sometimes you're fighting for respect, and you feel like I've got to fight for respect, and I've got to fight to show that I'm no longer a kid. And so the way you do that is you fight against authority. But you know what you're proving is not your maturity, but your immaturity. There's something every young man should learn to practice, and that is something called chivalry. And it's very important. I believe that chivalry is defined as a combination of qualities expected of an ideal knight. We're talking about knighthood this week. Courage, honor, courtesy, justice, and a readiness to help the weak. Courteous behavior, especially that of a man towards a woman. In this chapter, I break it down into three areas. I'll tell you what, you watch a young man. How they treat women, how they treat older people, and how they treat children. You young ladies, I hope you're taking notes and listening to this. You want to find a man, a real man? How do they treat older people? How they treat women? And how they treat children. Some of you young men have a really, I'm going to try to help you here, have a really bad attitude towards women. I mean, I'm just helping you here. You just walk around with a chip on your shoulder, and if a woman asks you to do something, tells you to do something, you just got to show that you're a man by standing up and being rebellious and unkind. I'm going to tell you something. That's not manhood. Okay? You don't treat women that way. I mean, back in, 150 years ago in Texas, some guy would have shot you for treating a woman that way. Boom. Bury him. Okay? I mean, even on the Old West where those guys were doing, unspeakable things. Buddy, when a woman walked in, things changed. Okay, they understood the treatment of a woman. I really mean this. Some of you need to get a chip off your shoulder about this. Okay, women aren't put on this planet for you to abuse or make fun of or make light of or laugh at or demean. And God help the young lady that marries a young man that's got that attitude towards women. Your life's not going to be good. But another area that I cover is chivalry towards aged men and women. And I'll read this. It's not very long. Always show great respect towards aged men and women. As opportunity allows, do everything within your power to make their lives easier. Speak kindly, humbly, and gentle to senior saints. Remember, age comes to us all. And what you sow in this area of your life, you will someday reap. Every aged woman is your mother. Every aged man, your father. This is how God wants you to consider them, for by doing so, you will treat them properly. Use your youthful strength and energy to their advantage. Take the time to listen to aged men and women. Glean from them their life experiences and the knowledge and wisdom they have gained. Gift them your time and attention. Hey, young people, the older folks in this church, you know what? They are deserving of a little of your time. You young ladies, if I could just get you, I know busy Sundays, I get it, but how long does it take to just plop down beside one of our widow ladies and hold her hand and talk to her and just make her feel like she's important for a few minutes? By the way, she is important. She's got a lot of wisdom if you take the time to glean some of it. She knows a lot of stuff. She could tell you stuff. She could give you one sentence that changed your life. If you're listening, if you take the time to glean it. Take the time to listen to them. Glean from them their life experiences. Cherish your grandparents. They're your link to another time, to the part of your family now buried and gone. Hear the stories of your heritage. Learn from them your history and the history of your nation. Widows are to receive special honor. The Bible places on every member of society the responsibility of caring for widows. This responsibility first starts at home. A family who will not care for their aged member is a family of infidels. A manly code of honor always includes respect and care towards the elderly. And so just some reminders in this. Listen, let's cherish our older folks. Let's treat them properly. Let's view them properly. Let's treat them properly. Let's speak to them properly. Honor them by caring for them properly. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Go back now to 1 Kings chapter 12. Let me give you the last point that we'll cover tonight. Respect of elders is a foundational Old Testament law. Respect of elders begins with respecting your parents. Respect of elders is shown in the way you interact with them, how you view them, how you treat them, how you speak to them, how you care for them. I am glad I stand at the back door, and as I stand at the back door, I shake everybody's hand on the way out. I may miss a few because I get involved in a conversation from time to time, but I try to shake everybody's hand on the way out. But I'm not, look, all you children, look up at me. I'm not, look up here, kids, look up here. I'm not just standing, having to stand back there to shake hands. I have to stand back there to keep some of you kids from running over our older ladies and our older gentlemen. Okay, I know church is out. You just want to get out there in that front yard and play. Hey, I used to be that kid, okay? But what you have to be aware of and start slowing down, be aware of, is older folks around you. I mean, for you to step back and let them go first. Well, if I cut in front of them, they're slow, and it might cost you 15 extra seconds of your life. But you got a lot more of your life ahead of them than they have in front of them. So, you know what? Probably you ought to just use up a little of yours and be patient, okay? So honor them by caring for them properly and take good care of older folks. Okay. Now, let me give you this. Respect of elders is displayed when you both seek and heed their counsel. Deuteronomy 32:7, I'll read this. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee, thy elders and they will tell thee. Wow, Deuteronomy 32:7, what a great verse. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we see a man that didn't do that. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, and all Israel was come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. I'm in 1 Kings 12, now verse 1, 2, or 3, somewhere in there. That they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he hath put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days. Then come again to me, and the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. Because of this, if you go on and read it, Israel ended up going into civil war. And folks, for the next several hundred years, we don't have a united nation until both are taken into captivity. Now, let me help you with this. And I know that you've been taught this, but a good way to remind it. And I hope that you'll take this closing illustration and you'll take this and think about it. You're blessed with a mom and dad. You're blessed with a mom and dad. Okay? If you're 15, let me just pick an age. You're 15, anywhere between 15 and 18, somewhere right in there. Then your parents are probably pushing 40, or looking back at it, they might be pulling 40. They're right in there, okay? So let's say there's a 15-year-old young man, and mom and dad are both 40. So between mom and dad, they have 80 years of life experience. Now that's just your mom and dad. Then you have two sets of grandparents, if you're blessed and they're all still alive. You got two sets of grandparents. Now, I'm not even going outside your immediate family. I'm telling you, you have a mom and dad that have 80 years of combined life experience. You've got grandparents, and grandparents are pushing or pulling 60 when you're 15. Are you thinking about this? You got four of them. That's 240 years of life experience. So you've got grandparents that have 240 years of combined life experience and parents that have 80 years. So just in your two parents and your four grandparents, you have access to 320 years on average of life experience. Now look up here and listen to me. Please don't miss this. But you're going to ignore what they say and listen to your 15-year-old friend. You're going to go to the well of all wisdom. Your 15-year-old friend that's got 15 years of life experience. The first two were in diapers, so now we're down to 13 years. Okay, they weren't even talking for a while. I mean, they were, okay. 5 of those years, they weren't even in school. Okay, they spent some of that time potty training. Now, since then, of course, they've traveled far and wide, and they've read thousands of books, and they've gained an amazing amount of knowledge in their, 10 years that they've been able to read, although with some of our students, it may be more like 8. I'm trying to use humor here, but I'm really hoping somebody's listening out there. This is insanity. I'm not even talking about your pastor. We haven't even thrown him in the mix. I'm not even talking about your pastor's wife. I'm not even talking about godly deacons and deacons' wives. I'm not even talking about people in this church that have served and lived the Lord that you could access all of their life experiences too. But you're going to throw all that away and listen to some knucklehead that's the same age as you are that have the same life experience that you does and is not any smarter or wiser than you are. Now that's what in the 1960s they decided to do. And they grew their hair long, and they became immoral, and they became sodomites.
Yes, sir.
And the entire country's gone into a tailspin it's never gotten out of. Because they would rather talk, well, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not 15, I'm 20. Oh, okay, mercy. All right, goodness. Then your parents are pushing or pulling 45. Your grandparents are 65 to 70. Now you're getting crowding up to 400 years of life experience that you're ignoring to talk to another 20-year-old. Now, what I'm trying to do is say this. The Bible's very, now I'm going to tell you, there's going to be kids that no matter what you say do that because you know what, they don't care, they know everything, and they're not going to, all right, whatever. You know, you're going to be the latest casualty and tragedy on a long list of casualties and tragedies, and you know, you can't, there's no cure for stupid, okay, there's just no cure for stupid. So, you know, go and prove once again that idiocy doesn't work and just go ahead. But who I'm appealing to is this. There's going to be a handful of young people actually just heard what I said. There's going to be a handful of young people that just heard what I said. And they're going to sit there and go, huh. See, 3:20:15. Huh. I think maybe I'll spend a little more time with mom and dad and listen to them a little bit harder than I'm listening to some knucklehead friend. I think maybe I'll spend a little bit more time over at grandma and grandpa's house and glean some wisdom from them. I think I'll get mom and dad and grandma and grandpa start telling some stories, and maybe they can share some of the mistakes they've made and even be transparent to some of the failures, as well as teaching me how they've succeeded and why they're blessed. And I'm going to tell you something you can access within your own family unit. I'm not talking about aunts and uncles, great-grandpas and great. I'm just talking about mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa. You got 3 centuries of life experience. You're crazy if you don't tap into that. Let me tell you something else. The handful of you that will do that, you are going to be eons beyond the rest of the crowd. Because see, they're going to try to be operating out there in life when they're 20 and 25 based on the wisdom and knowledge they've gained from other 20 and 25-year-olds, where you'll be able to operate in the same arena. Only you're going to be a lot smarter and wiser and more successful because you were wise enough to consider what the Bible teaches here when it says, listen to me, if you're going to go get some counsel and you're going to go get some advice and you're going to go listen to somebody and spend time with them, it might be best to pick somebody who has a proven track record of wisdom. I mean, Rehoboam, come on. I know Solomon's gone, but the men who stood before Solomon, that were his advisory committee, who listened to his wisdom, they're still there. Okay? Solomon put them under that taxation for a reason, for a short period of time, because they had to build the temple. It was the command of God. But the temple's built now. There's no reason to continue that. Back off. Ease off. They've sacrificed a long time. If you'll ease off of them, they'll be loyal to you forever. Well, I think I'll go hang out with my buddies and see what they think. And you know what? He listened to his buddies instead of the wiser, older generation. And because of that, he split the nation. Civil war broke out. And the nation never recovered. Now, let me appeal to all of you. And again, it's not that I think that we've got huge problems here, but I think if we have young people, there's always a seed of this because I know how the devil works. Remember this, you will never go wrong showing proper respect and proper humility towards people that are older than you. God will bless you in a way that you cannot understand. You're going to be blessed if you'll honor your father and mother, that it may be well with thee. You ought to just maybe underline that little phrase. You want it to be well with you when you're in your 20s? You want it to be well with you when you're in your 30s? Then honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with promise. You want to live a long life? Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise. Show respect in the way you interact with them. When you see the white head, when you see the gray head, think of this, a crown of glory. Take the time to treat them properly. Take the time to speak to them properly. Take the time to glean from them and learn from them. By the way, in your own family, make sure that you care for them properly. They're deserving of that. And when it is time to seek advice and wisdom, you might want to check out those that have accumulated a lifetime of experience and go sit down and talk to them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask that you'd help us in this area, Lord, to glean from the Scriptures this good advice, good wisdom. For the young person that may be struggling with this in their heart, and they still carrying around kind of a satanic attitude towards authority and a satanic attitude towards their parents, I pray, God, that they would stop a minute and consider Satan and his end and how that worked out for him. Jesus humbled himself, and yet God exalted him. Satan exalted himself, and God humbled him. And so, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to learn young and early on in life, that these older Christians, those that have lived in the way of righteousness, they are a gift to a younger generation. May they access that gift and learn from that gift and glean from that gift. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.